Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome to The Miracle Within You. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and in today's show, we're going to revisit the amazing miracle experienced by Barbara Morello, who was actually the second episode in the series. And we'll go through her experience in the first part of the show. But then we'll spend the time, now it's been 15 plus years since she experienced what is an incredible miracle. And we will reflect on that in terms of what it means for healing, well-being, and trying to give yourself the best chance of survival in difficult situations. Barb, it's great to have you back on the show.
Howard, it's great to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Yes, always great talking with you. And let's start by awing the listeners about your amazing story that goes back to 2009. When you contracted the H1N1 virus and were in a bad condition. Take it from there.
Yeah. So when I had contracted the deadly H1N1 virus back in 2009, you know, it was funny because it wasn't even like I had a flu. It didn't even feel like that until the day I was admitted into the hospital, which I felt that I could not breathe. I couldn't get oxygen. So eventually I ended up in emergency. And the next thing I remember is 2 weeks later. But what's really interesting is the memory I had while in the coma is more vivid and was more real to me than life itself when I came out of the coma, which is really interesting. So I remembered every day of the coma, which was triggered by events that were around my hospital bed with people speaking to me or different procedures they did that was all documented. And but the most interesting thing that happened in the coma was when I had an experience with selling my soul to Satan. And I was desperate because I knew I was in a place that I couldn't get out of. It's like being stuck in a bad dream that you can never wake up from. And through the whole coma, I was trying to save my life. I had struggles. I had challenges every day of a new way I could possibly get out of it. But the ultimate was when Satan approached me and gave me this very alluring deal. But I would have to serve him for the rest of my life. And I'm like, well, that's an odd deal. And anyway, so I knew there was something wrong when he gave me 6 seconds to figure this thing out. And it's like, well, who can I talk to about this? I can't talk to anyone. It's like being on a game show. You got door one, door two. Which one are you going to take? Because he said door two was going to be really bad for me. And but the lie he portrayed was so convincing. You know, I mean, it was so convincing. So he started counting down and I took the deal. But as soon as I took the deal to serve him for the rest of my life, because he was going to save me, I recognized immediately in my soul, I just did the worst thing, and I recanted. And upon recanting, an angel swiftly came, grabbed my hand, and said to me, "You almost sold your soul to Satan," and took me into what we call in God's waiting room, because I have no other way to describe it, of where I learned many things. And it seemed like I stayed up there for 2 weeks, which I didn't. But, you know, time is irrelevant when you're in the spirit realm. But I was said that I would receive a miracle of receiving a new heart, that my heart was that of 98-year-old. It was only 47, but it had been damaged so bad, and I was at a 10% injection fraction. But I didn't know at the time. I'm like, what is wrong with my heart? Like, really? A miracle of a new heart? Okay, I'll take it. And I was told I would see through different eyes. And I'm like, see through different eyes. And as I looked into the angel, he said, look at me, look into my eyes. I see through different eyes, and so will you. Well, when I came out of the coma, I figured out what that meant. And then he said, I would be doing his work. I would be serving. I would be serving Jesus. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And there was other things that was said, but these are the three really important things. So when I came out of the coma, indeed, I saw through different eyes. So I guess I had suffered a massive stroke, and they expected me not to survive. Just so the viewers know, it was said that if I did survive, I had lost all my organs, my heart, my lungs, kidneys, liver, everything was gone. And with the massive stroke that was from pooling of the blood with the line that was in my neck, I would be a vegetable or a blind vegetable. So there was no hope. So that they were going to pull the plug. But there was a glimmer of hope, which is why they didn't pull the plug. So yeah, anyway, I saw through my eyes that I was missing big parts of the picture. And but when my cardiologist came in, I said, oh my goodness, doctor, I received a miracle. He said, Barb, you're on a heart transplant list or a mechanical heart list. And I, no, my heart's healed. And he said, no, that can't be. In all my 40 years, I've never heard of anything like that. But just, you know, for fun, let's take you down and run some tests. And at the end of the day, he came back into my room and said, indeed, this is a miracle. In all my 40 years, I've never seen anything like it. In fact, we would harvest your heart to put into someone else who needed a heart transplant. And then it followed suit with my nephrologist. He said I would be on dialysis for the rest of my life. And I'm like, no, if I had the heart miracle, I'm having a miracle of the kidneys. And he's like, no, you're not. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we're installing a new port. I said, this time. Did. And 5 days later, they took the port out, and my kidneys are running at a 67% capacity. So indeed, that's a miracle. I do not have to have dialysis for the rest of my life. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amazing. So, amazing. It's just incredible. Yeah, it's just incredible. And for you listeners, I did help Bob write her book, In God's Waiting Room, about this amazing story. And you really dive into the details, because when she came out of the coma, she remembered different things that were sort of dreams or experiences in her coma, that, you know, first Bob reflected. Well, they were things that were going on, right? So you imagined when they were trying to keep me electrocardioverting you, trying to keep you alive, you had this dream of driving down the highway looking for electricity. And a lot of the time in these dreams, you were treated sort of negatively. You couldn't get your way. One part of the dream, right, was you saw a car that had broken down, and you thought maybe the battery you could use to get yourself going again.
Yes.
And we're told, sorry, you know, this is somebody very well known. You don't have the status to take this, you know, and stuff like that, which is really amazing. And when I heard those stories, I saw them as a sort of spiritual awakening, if you will, or a reconciliation of certain issues that had existed in your life, right? That the experience with the dogs, for example, perhaps you can explain that dream.
Yeah, that was another situation where I was trying to get electricity. That was quite a theme due to the cardio version. And the way I would get electricity, and again, I can't explain why this would have to happen, so don't judge me for this, but I had to drive down a road in Alaska, of all places, and run over a pack of huskies. And by doing so, somehow I would receive electricity. And yeah, so I did. But I still didn't receive the electricity. And then I had to hike the rest of the way down the road to a substation. Then wait for the electrical workers to come the next day. Then they could harness me to the electrical substation power. But while I was in there, I had to sleep by myself through the night. And it was so cold. And all night long, the phone kept ringing in my coma dream. And it was the owner of the dog going, "Why did you have to kill my huskies? Don't you know these huskies have a job? You've taken our revenue away. They were working dogs. What have you done?" And in the background, I could hear the wife crying for the loss of the dogs, but he wouldn't stop calling me. And it was all night long with this badgering and beating me up that I killed his dogs. And of course, the next morning, the electrical guy comes to hook me up, and he's very matter of fact. And he says to me, "Now you have to stand on this downed power line for exactly so many seconds, and I'm going to count to three." And he made all these conditions that if I stood on it 1 second too long, I would get killed. If I wasn't on it long enough, this would happen. And I'm thinking, why all these conditions? Like, there was nothing but conditions through every single one of these coma dreams. And that for some reason, I was always the one to blame for something. And I could never escape this blame or shame. And, you know, and they just kept ramping up to, you know, the record ring death, which was that was horrific. That was like a Stephen King movie, you know, where I was, you know, my mother had sent me this vinyl in the mail, you know, like record vinyl you put on a record player. And it was how to be the most beautiful girl in the world. And all you had to do is put the vinyl on the record player and listen to it, and you would just transform through this. And but there was a skeleton and crossbones warning message on the front of the label saying, "If you do this, it is certain death." But I just couldn't help myself. I had to put that thing on. And by listening to it, every word would just transform like body parts. Like, you'd have the most beautiful long hair and beautiful thin waist with the biggest boobs, the perfect calves. You know, it was basically everything I have been told as a woman that men like.
Right.
But as I placed the needle on and I heard the warning, suddenly the vinyl started unwinding off the record and wrapping around my ankle. And it kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And it took like 24 hours for the whole thing to play through, of which it really snuffed my life out, because I couldn't breathe. I really couldn't breathe, Howard. Of course, we found out later it was because they took me off the ventilator, and I really couldn't breathe. And they had those restrictive, what are those cuffs called that they put on you?
Yes. Yeah.
Circulation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever.
So that was really tight around my ankle. So, but I was convinced in the coma. Now I'm dead. And then there was another scene where I was dead. That's after that one, when they were embalming me. And I was on the embalming table getting ready, and my sister was preparing me for the funeral. And then she said goodbye to me. She was going to come back in the morning, which I guess in reality she did say goodbye and she left. And I heard the light switch go off in my coma. And then again, all of a sudden, I thought, there we go. She turned the power off. And now I can't breathe again. And I struggled to breathe. And then I thought, that's it. I'm dead now. I am dead. Finally, I'm really dead.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about this, just to take the dog story for example, it does relate to a real life story you had as a child, teenager, I think, where your parents went on vacation and you were charged with picking up the dog from, what was it, your dad's workplace or something,
Yeah, his factory.
his
Yeah.
factory, and the day you meant to get it, you were too tired and said, I'll go tomorrow morning and get it. And when you went tomorrow morning, what
Right.
happened?
Then the first person I saw was my dad with tears. He came over to me, he wrapped his arms around me, and I've never seen my dad with tears. And he said, "Barbie, I'm so sorry. Mustard's dead." And I never forgave myself. Because on that Sunday that I meant to pick the dog up, I had this ominous feeling that I needed to pick the dog up because if I didn't do it, the dog wouldn't be there in the morning. And I'm like, no, come on, what's going to
Right,
happen to the dog?
right,
He's safe.
right.
He's at my dad's factory. But I guess the foreman got into the dump truck and where the dog was chained and laying, he just squashed the dog because the
Oh,
dog was underneath the wheel of the dump
yikes.
truck.
Yeah. So, really amazing how these coma dreams related to what was going on at the time with you, various medical procedures, your sister, your fiance, your mom being there, but also not just at that material level, but at that spiritual level, as you say, really eliciting signs of cases of guilt and shame and, not feeling good enough. I think that to me just was amazing because I believe that in that ex coma experience, you resolved a lot of those issues that you had, material world issues. And I think
I did.
it saved you.
I did, Howard, which is the interesting subtitle of the book, which I needed to what was it called? Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a mouthful, but
Yeah,
it's
it
about
is.
basically the only way to save my life was in a coma.
Yes.
And something like that. Because mentally I was saved and experienced a miracle. Physically, I experienced a miracle. Spiritually, I experienced a miracle. And mind, body, and spirit was transformed in a way that I would never think one could transform. And I always said to everybody I knew, you just need to go into a coma for 2 weeks and you'll be transformed. I think, when you come to the end of yourself and then you have an experience like that, and I got to tell you, before I got sick, I had been praying to the Lord to transform me because I knew my lifestyle honored God. But I didn't know how to change it because I had a very good profession. I made a lot of money and I lived sort of a lifestyle that wouldn't please the Lord. I mean, it's the worldly ways.
Right.
But I knew somehow in my soul I needed to make a change. And they always say, careful what you wish for, careful what you pray for, because I'll tell you, when God brings it, He brings it, Howard. But through that experience, I was completely and utterly transformed.
Right.
And I liken it to the Camino walk in Spain. And I say to my son, honey, you need to go on one of those spiritual walks. And, as I told you, Howard, he did, not the one in Spain, but he's in New Zealand, walking the whole South Island from north to south. And already from the texts that I get from him, I am seeing unbelievable transformation. And I think for the youth, they have problems with and addictions to scrolling, as he calls it, but addictions to social media, and they are defined by social
Oh
media.
yeah, absolutely.
And like in my generation, I was defined, obviously, because I fell prey to being the most beautiful woman in the world that, every man would want. That's from media as well.
Yep,
That would be from
absolutely.
my generation is the TV shows.
Oh yeah.
So every generation we're plagued with what defines us, and I think it's a hell of a thing to go through,
I know it.
because a lot of kids these days, they're committing
I
suicide.
know it.
Like the suicide rate for youth is
I know it.
off the charts.
Right. Let's take a quick break from our great sponsors and then come back and explore this concept because I believe it's very important. And I think it is exactly why you needed to be in a coma. We'll be right back after this short break.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. And today I'm delighted to have with me Barbara Morello, who is explaining her miracle story that she experienced. And one of the things that comes up from this, and I've been exploring this concept with various people over the last year or so, in terms of, first of all, how do you know who you really are? Because we live so much of our lives and thoughts are shaped and influenced by culture, social media, the material world. There's no time for anything else, or so it seems. And people that I've seen have had, dramatic transformations, not as dramatic as yours, but dramatic transformations, were able to do kind of the next best thing to a coma, which was kind of drop out of their usual material world, go off somewhere, just be in a totally new, neutral place, no TV, no social media, no nothing. And in that state, they are able to understand themselves more and realize who they are and their potential. And I do think that you would not have had that experience if you were not in a coma.
Now, I definitely wouldn't have. It's my saving grace. And every morning, I live my life differently. So when we get up, first thing I do is get my coffee. I sit down and I read the morning scripture and I pray. And then my husband and I, we worship for a song or two. And then we start our day. And this is every day without fail. And I'll just say that when our kids come up to visit, okay, it's chaos. It might not look right. like that exactly. But when it's just Mike and I, that is how we live. If I wouldn't have had that experience, I believe I was on the fast track to destruction. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm not talking suicide, but I'm just saying that there was such a sadness and a loneliness and, you know, much like, you know, most people experience, yeah, I don't even know how to explain it, but I think all listeners know what I'm talking about. If you're not connected and if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I don't know. It's like, where's the hope?
Right.
And my right. hope is in Christ. Mm-hmm. My hope is in a living God who I have seen perform endless miracles, and not just in my life, but in others. And you know, I got to say, the other day, this was really funny. I got a phone call from somebody that I haven't spoken to in 15 years. And she must have misdialed on her phone. There must have been another Barbara she was looking for. And she says, Barb, I got a problem. I got a friend. He went into the hospital. He has this illness, this serious illness. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell him. And I said, well, just pray for him, put him on a prayer list. And she goes, no, you don't understand. It's not that. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell him. How do I get him help? And I said again, the second time, the only thing I can say is bring in a group of people to pray on him. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the third time, Barb, seriously, what do we do? There's got to be some medical advice. And then I said the third time, okay, find somebody who's got a prayer list and put them on that prayer list and have many people praying. And she goes, wait a minute, am I speaking to Barb Morello? And I said, yeah. She goes, well, I knew the advice you were giving me wasn't coming from the other Barbara. She says, well, that's crazy advice. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's the only advice. And she says, oh, okay, good talking to you. Goodbye. And I'm like, you know, I belong to a few prayer groups and I do Bible study and Bible study groups. And we pray for people. And again, this is where I'm seeing all the miracles happen. When you have more than one person together praying in unison who have a relationship with Jesus, things happen. I mean, amazing things happen to people. And here I was giving her spiritual advice. And then obviously she wanted, you know,
material, medical, yeah.
That mm-hmm. I couldn't give her, but I know what works because mm-hmm. I see what works. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, interesting. Yeah, and when you're in those prayer groups, do the people know that they're being prayed for?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. As a matter of fact, we have many testimonies. This particular group that I work with, the leader of the group also does deliverance. Oh, okay. And do you know a lot of illnesses are actually like Parkinson's or, you know, there's a lot of mm-hmm. illnesses. Yes. They're actually, I'm going to really go off topic, but they're demons. And you know, when Jesus was casting out demons, they were like illnesses. Mm-hmm. So the demons get in and cause these illnesses in people. Mm-hmm. And through deliverance, we've seen all these miracles of people with Parkinson's. It goes, it's gone. They no longer have it. Or, I mean, you name it, just about, I've seen it from cancer to whatever has miraculously, well, through obviously the blood of Jesus, mm-hmm. As we pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name.
I do think that the sufferer, the person who's got the condition like you did, ideally is invested in hope and belief. And I think that when that happens, amazing things can happen. I think, you know, if you take a negative view or a victim view, or, you know, I don't think that's helpful at all. Mm-hmm. I think what we're talking about at a fundamental level here is what we might call good energy. And we know that good energy can start up a system, all the trillions of cells in your body, that has, you know, the lights have gone out. It's not working. But then suddenly you get this amazing energy and the lights go back on like they did for you. Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Because another riding, because we ride horses, she's a riding coach, told me about a miracle that happened to her brother. And the illness left. And then he became very negative about it again. And he just brought it right back.
Back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So she said the same thing. I mean, you know, walk in that miracle. Walk in it.
Yes. Yes.
And if you're negative, you're going to bring stuff on. Yep. And you know, I don't know if it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, but as a man thinketh, so he is.
Yes.
So you got to be careful what you say and what you claim for yourself.
And what you allow go into your head and think about and all of that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I believe you can bring on cancer just believing you got cancer.
Mm-hmm. I think that's eminently possible. You know, cancer.
You know, the cells have an intelligence. So when you're telling the cells, you're speaking to an intelligence. Then it goes, oh, okay, then that's what we are.
No. And interestingly, in cancer, the cells are actually hacking the system. They're like scammers who come in and hack the communication system, create their own system and start destroying, you know, other parts of it, which is, you know, just mind-boggling, but it certainly fits this notion of being the need to be authentic, the need to be real, the need to be spiritual, I think, and to be able to put the material world, because we have to live in the material world, so we can't ignore it completely, but at times be able to see it for what it is and have times when we are disconnected pretty much from it. Because until you've experienced that, It's incredible. And I was just looking recently at the 1975 book on the Course in Miracles. And you may be familiar with that. And basically what they said, it's about love or fear. You know, and if you embrace love, then amazing thing happens. If you're fearful, then the opposite. And I think that's true. And there's an interesting table of energy created by David Dawkins, who was really into this. And the highest vibrational energy comes with love, compassion, humility, grace, all of those things. High levels of energy. The lowest energies come from anger, frustration, stress, and, interestingly, in terms of your story, right at the bottom, lowest energy, shame and guilt. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Makes sense.
Yeah, and as you say, you know, there was a lot, you had a lot of shame and guilt that you were carrying. And being able to let go of that.
So I think that it's imperative that that people seek a relationship with Jesus and read the Holy Scripture and worship and pray And I think this is, if you live a lifestyle like that, I truly believe, you know, you transform.
Yes.
And because again, I witness it with people and people in my prayer groups, and I'm not saying your life is going to be perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying transformation happens, and it doesn't happen overnight. But the awareness of what you're reading in scripture, and you know, I think every solution there is written in scripture, and it's how you choose to use it or not use it, but it's definitely available to people who, you know, want to discover ways of finding themselves.
Absolutely.
There's something for everybody in there.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, that's great.
Yep.
Okay, let's take another quick break for our great sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today, I'm delighted to be talking again with Barbara Morello, with whom I wrote a great book, In God's Waiting Room, describing her amazing story of more than 15 years ago when she emerged from a coma, almost completely cured from heart, renal, liver, and every other disability that she was facing that you can imagine. And which prompted the doctor to admit that in 40 years in practice, he had never seen anything like it or couldn't explain it. So, Bob, you went through this amazing experience, and it must have changed you. How has it changed you? What's life been like in the 15 years plus since then?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, when I woke from the coma, I found myself to be visually impaired. I'm like a notch above legally blind. So I was not able to return to my life as an architectural rendering artist because it requires very detailed work, working with blueprints and drawing up buildings and then painting them in watercolors. So I remembered what I was told when I was in God's waiting room, and it was like a place in heaven. I don't know how else to describe it, but when I was told I would be doing ministry work, and So being an artist and loving horses, I thought, well, we'll do volunteer work first. And so I had an opportunity at a residential facility in Miami called Agape, of where I did a creative art program for 3 years every week. And this was extremely successful. The ladies, it was structured in a way, and I had lots of volunteers that I took with me from Bible study fellowship. So it wasn't just me, but, you know, using creating as a way to reach the women, they were able to express themselves on paper with paint or whatever we were using that day. Until I could get the equine assisted learning program going. Now that was the best. So eventually I got that integrated into the system. So again, every week, two or three ladies would come out with their therapists and their mental health techs. And oh my goodness, it was like a miracle every week. So using the horses, and as you know or don't know, horses mirror what's going on in a person. And so we're taught how to read the horse, and aided by the Holy Spirit, we would be able to ask questions related to how we would see the horse respond to the individual. And you would not believe what that person would reveal. And the therapist would say to me, in all the months we've been working with this individual, this has never come out. And even the mental health techs would say that. So it became known by the University of Miami, and even they came to watch and shadow and study it. And then we even had the local news channel come and do a segment on it, because that was miraculous in itself. So it was really flourishing until 2020, when COVID shut down all the programs, which was really sad. I was so brokenhearted. And then by March, you know, my husband Mike said, you know, honey, I don't know when this, because it was so bad in March. Everything was shutting down, like all the countries were shutting down, stores were shutting down. You remember the pandemic. So we decided to move to Bushnell to be closer to our kids and grandchildren. So I tried to start it up there with prison ministry and stuff. But again, they still weren't open for years. They weren't open to doing anything. So my ministry partner, Hayes, and I started a clothing ministry. Mm-hmm. And first it was with t-shirts, you know, with sayings and slogans. Right. And then we branched it into like regular clothing, blazers, blouses, called it My Jesus Threads. And so that ministry has been really amazing, because people stop and they'll say, oh, I love your shirt. Mm-hmm. Or what does that mean? Jesus is coming back. Mm-hmm. Jesus is coming back. What? Or Jesus is coming soon. What do you mean? Or rapture. So it's like ministry on the spot, like what Jesus did. And it's, you know, it's been a really great way to speak to people about Jesus. And you know, it's also a way that I talk about the book. And every opportunity I have to talk about our book, Howard, I share with people. And it has made such a difference. It brings comfort to them, and a knowing that God is sovereign, He is in control, and that you can put your trust in Jesus. So, you know, I think this year looks like a good year to really get out there and promote the book. I think, you know, sometimes when you've written a book and you've had an experience, you need to kind of step away for a while.
Yes.
And you need to see how everything is processed and percolated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, you know what? I think this is now a good time to really get on the road and share this experience, because I can look back now on the 15 years and really talk about it. And in 2017, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, what's really interesting, most people would fret, but I went through it with flying colors. And I just worshiped my way through it like nothing even happened. And I don't go around tell people, oh, I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yeah, I don't even think about that. No, I just went through it like, no worries. We'll just take care of this. God's in control. I'm going to be good. If he could bring me through a coma like that and bring me back to life the way he did, well, everything's possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm sure you feel that way. And yeah, and it's great to give people the notion that they could feel that way too, but they have to hear the story. And ideally, they have to hear the story from you, I think. You know, the person right in front of them who experienced it, you know.
I think that's
really important. And people can see how vibrant and lively and, you know, you are. And just to imagine you in a, you know, just a few seconds, almost a few minutes away from death. You know, perhaps if you had done the deal with Satan, you might not be here to talk about it, right?
No. Yep. That's what I say.
Yeah. No. So, absolutely. And I think it would be great for you to get back out on the road. And, you know, I'd like to help in that too, to spread the word, because I do know the impact this can have, and you've seen it, right?
Yes, seen it.
You've seen it. You've changed people's mindset about not necessarily just physical suffering, although that's important, but any other sort of suffering too. So that's really important. You have a power there that needs to be shared. Now, you know, it doesn't mean everyone who's got terminal cancer listens to your story going to survive. You know, we're not talking about that.
No, it doesn't.
And we're not saying anything negative about conventional medicine, you know, follow your doctor's orders.
No, I'm not saying anything about that. Medicine is good too. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I do believe your story, as many others, shows you that the mindset that you have makes a big difference. And your best chances of survival are when you have good medical care, but you also have that mindset of, I'm going to make it through.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So amazing, amazing story. And, you know, here you are, as you said, 15 plus years later. And it's interesting. Obviously very spiritual. How do you see the material world? I mean, have you got it in perspective? I mean, do you get sucked in by, you know, social media or any of that stuff?
So funny you ask me that. You know, I don't do social media, and that partially because my eyesight, I just have such a hard time with anything like that. But I do get sucked in. And, you know, we all have our challenges. And I find every morning I have to crucify my flesh, because if I'm not careful and I see an advertisement about how to improve your beauty.
Yeah. All the time.
Okay. And I'm like, no, Barb, you can age gracefully. And I just said this morning to my husband, but, you know, one day I'm going to need a facelift, honey, you know, and we laughed and joked about it. But, you know, honestly, I think it's a struggle that you will have for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And I think you just have to age gracefully, which is hard, especially in this world of beauty. Mm-hmm. And also my other, you know, I is it an addiction? Maybe, as you know, I love riding horses and I've got back into competition. And now there is something to be said about having the right saddle. Now, I'm not talking about the most beautiful saddle, but I'm talking about a saddle that seats you correctly.
Right.
And then I developed an obsession about having a high enough back, having proper contact with the horse. And then I go on this saddle quest.
Right.
And then it doesn't stop with looking at saddles. And I'm like, Bart, what? You got to stop. You're out of control. You got an obsession with saddles.
Yeah, interesting. So, yeah, and that's that's a great metaphor for the world we live in, isn't it? You know, there's something targeted for you. It's, you know, they know what you're interested in, throw gazillion adverts at you, social media posts, and it's, in many ways, it's horrendous. I mean, it takes up way too much time, way too much energy, way too much attention on the wrong things. On the wrong things, right?
Yes.
The right things are the spiritual things we've been talking about. How do we help people? How do we serve society, right? How do we show grace and love and compassion? That's what it's all about. Yes. Not getting a that good Black Friday deal on the latest, you know, solution for sagging eyebrows or whatever it is. but I mean that's really what it's about, and you know, and it's very difficult. It's very most people find it very difficult to find that balance, because it is about balance.
It is about balance,
and the other thing, which I think is really interesting, you mentioned earlier about being perfect. Matthew Kelly, who you might know, is a very famous Catholic writer. And one of the things that he said is that it's one of the biggest misconceptions in Catholicism is somehow you have to be perfect. And he says, you know, you live in a material world, you're not going to be perfect, but you try in special moments, those holy moments, to do the right thing, you know, to do the right thing. And just that mindset alone is important. So, you know, this balance between material and spiritual is very challenging as the world has become way more material.
Yeah. You know, we've been watching that show about the saints.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That is really good. And what I've noticed is how many of the saints have left their wealth. And that's astounding how they can.
Give up the material world, just, you know, and the extreme examples of that, you know, Buddhist monks, people like that who just give up possessions, give up the pursuit of possession, give up the pursuit of money, and just be amazing, really. We all need to learn from that. There's a, you know, the balance is hard to strike. But thank you so much for your great a conversation today. And again, if people are interested, Barbara Morello and myself wrote In God's Waiting Room, which is still available, and a great book. So thank you, Bob, for being on the show. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.